Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us right now. Glory to your name. We thank you for your word and how precious it is. It's life. Thank you for that. We pray for your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our time, fill our hearts, fill this message. May you speak. I pray that you come and that you speak and that you would use the Word of God to transform us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We trust you for this, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over to the other side and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." And behold, some scribes thought to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowds saw it, they were afraid and glorified God who had given such authority to men. It's a powerful story. That is a story that is about what?
Authority,
isn't it? That's, I told you, Matthew's hammering this theme. We keep seeing the authority of Jesus. And here, not only do we see it, but Jesus actually declares that's what this is about. In the healing itself. He actually tells us that's what it's about. In the past, we've seen Jesus have authority for different things. He's had authority over leprosy. He's had authority over disease. He has had authority over demons. We've seen him calm the storm. He's had authority over the winds and the sea. Even they obey him. Now we see him have authority to forgive sins. It's a different authority, but it's the same idea. This man's got some authority. The central idea of this whole text is verse 6. Look at verse 6. That's the whole point of everything said in this text. Everything leads up to that and comes back to that, and that's the point. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And by the way, it's not just he has authority to proclaim that your sins are forgiven. Like, we could say that. Mm-hmm. And some people might think that's what he's doing, because in verse 2, he says your sins are forgiven. He doesn't say, "I forgive them," just your sins are forgiven. But in verse 6, he's pretty clear what he's talking about. so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise and walk. And so verse 6 is foreshadowed in verse 2, where Jesus actually declares the forgiveness. But then we have sort of a, we could call it an authority struggle going on, if you want to put it that way, a power struggle between Jesus and the scribes. Who's this guy think he is? So the people bring him a paralytic, and they brought Jesus this paralytic because they believed he could heal him. That's why they brought it, brought him, the paralytic. That is called faith. And it says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, then said to the paralytic. And so specifically, this is faith in Jesus. These men are bringing a paralytic to Jesus to have Jesus heal the paralyzed man. And so it's faith specifically in Jesus. Jesus likes that. He likes faith in him. And so these men want Jesus to do something about this man's paralysis. But Jesus gives them something bigger. See, Jesus doesn't actually, he eventually does deal with the paralysis, but at first, he doesn't heal the man. He says, take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Now, I mean, pretend you're the paralyzed man now, and this is kind of weird. It's a very strange response. Okay, let's just say, to show you what it's like this. Let's say, Richard, you're having trouble walking. You go to the doctor, and you go into the doctor's office, and the doctor comes in, and he looks at you, and he says, take heart, Richard. Your sins are forgiven. Now, you're thinking, doc, I didn't really come here to get my sins forgiven. And doc, I think that's a little above your pay grade anyway. You don't really have authority to forgive my sins. Right? You would be thinking this. That's just what happened to this paralyzed man. He just went to the doctor to be healed, and the doctor just said, hey, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. He healed him, but of something a whole lot bigger than paralysis. But that's not why he was there. He didn't come thinking, hey, bring me to Jesus and he'll forgive my sins. You know that's not why he's there. He's there for something else. And so you really have to have the right authority to forgive sins. Not anybody can go around forgiving sins. If you want your sins forgiven, you have to go to God. He's the only one that really has the authority to forgive sins. And that is what the scribes are thinking, right? They're thinking, this man is blaspheming. Slander, that's the idea. This is slander against God. Who does this guy think he is? That's God's job. It would be just like if the doctor said, hey, your sins are forgiven, Richard. There's a sense in which you're thinking, who does this doctor think he is? How does he know? He doesn't have the right to do that. It's a really kind of a natural thought if you were there in the crowd watching this. And so what they are thinking is Jesus is putting himself in the position of God. Now, here's the deal. They're right. He is putting himself in the position of God. See, the problem with the scribes is not their logic. They're actually thinking correctly. The problem with the scribes is their lack of faith. They know what he's saying. They just don't believe it. That's the problem they have. Now, I want you to see the connection in this story between faith and forgiveness. It stands out, right? You see it. It's there. Faith, and specifically faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus brings forgiveness. That happens in this story. No faith, no forgiveness. That's kind of the way the economy of the kingdom of God works. Faith brings forgiveness. No faith, no forgiveness. We need to think that way. And so, friends of the paralyzed man and the paralyzed man himself, that have the faith, specifically, they don't necessarily have faith in what we today would say, oh, you have to have faith in the atoning blood of Christ, and the cross hasn't even happened yet. There is no atoning blood yet. They don't have faith in all of that doctrine stuff. I'm not knocking the doctrine stuff. We need it. But all I'm saying is, that's not really what their faith is in. Their faith is in the person of Jesus, and not necessarily even to forgive sins here. It's just, let's take him to Jesus. He can heal this guy. And I'm sure the guy's in on it. Take me to Jesus. And so, so they're not really coming for forgiveness. They just trust Jesus. That's all they're doing, is trusting Jesus. This man, in one sense, he's kind of like a little three-year-old girl who doesn't know all the doctrine stuff, but trusts Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. You've got grandkids. I bet you've seen that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little Harper that I met in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know? I think of her. She doesn't understand all of the doctrinal whatever, whatnots, but there may be a real faith there. Despite the fact that she does, now she grows up, she'll learn all that stuff. And if the faith is real, she'll accept all that stuff. But you don't necessarily, the faith is in Jesus. There's a sense in which that's what this man is doing. He's just trusting Christ, like a three-year-old girl would.
That was me at 3 years old.
You at 3 years old? You trusted Jesus, but you didn't know all the stuff. Yeah. And so this guy has the right faith, this paralytic, from the heart. And Jesus sees it. And he credits it to him as righteousness. That's what Jesus does. And he sees the faith and he says, I see, this guy's real. Your sins are forgiven. Guys, we can trust Jesus with whatever. In this case, this man is trusting Jesus with paralysis. He cannot walk. And he's simply coming to Jesus with his problem. It's a pretty serious problem, actually, by the way we judge problems. But he just brings it to Jesus. So we can trust him with all of life, not just doctrines and forgiveness and whatnot. But everything, you know, when your spouse dies, you can trust Jesus. You lose your job, you can trust Jesus. You can go to him, he'll take care of you. When you you move and, you know, you leave all your friends and you start all over fresh. You can trust Jesus in that. When whatever, you can trust him with that kind of stuff. It's the same faith. We need to understand faith is not, faith is faith. And so the faith that trusts in the atoning blood of Christ is the same faith that comes to Jesus when you're sick or when you suffer. It's the same faith. And so you say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'll trust you. Jesus likes that. That's faith. Lord, in this case, I can't walk, but I'll trust you. I'll come to you. That's faith. And Jesus likes it. And so Jesus gives this man a greater treat than walking. He frees his soul. And actually, that's the problem the scribes have. So Jesus offers them a sign. That's really what this is. This is a sign. Jesus does something they can see it that points to something they cannot see. They can't officially see with their eyes that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. But they can see whether this man can rise and walk. That they can see. That's what a sign is. A sign is nothing more than an indication of something else that you can't see that's greater. It points, signs point to something, is what they do. It's his authority to heal shows his authority to forgive. That's what Jesus is saying to them. You know, it's like this. Jesus, here's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. He said, "The works the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." This story is a picture of that verse. The works the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. His works reveal where he comes from. That's what's going on in Matthew 9 here. So that, and it's not just here. When you see Jesus cast out demons, heal a paralytic, raise the dead, heal the blind, still the storm, whatever. Whenever you see that, what do you see? See, those are just signs pointing you to something greater. Those aren't the main thing. Signs are never the main thing. Signs get you to the main thing. So when you see those things, do you just see those things? Do you just see a sign? Or do you see the main thing? Do you see the authority of Christ? Do you see the kingdom of God come to earth when you see those things? Do you see the power to forgive, or do you just see a man walking in this story? Do you see someone you can build your life on, or do you just see a sign when you see the miracles in the New Testament? Here's what Jesus' healing did in this story. It's actually, he did lots of things here in one event. One, he made the man walk. This man was not able to walk he is now able to walk. I mean, if that's all he did, that's a pretty significant thing. He did that. Two, he showed the paralytic that his sins are forgiven. You see, he said it, but the healing actually demonstrated the authority. And the paralytic was one of the guys who experienced the whole thing. And so if you're the paralytic, this guy just said, my sins are forgiven. Okay, well, how does he know that? And, well, now which is greater? Rise, take up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. The paralytic now knows that his sins are forgiven. He knows it because of what just happened. And so not only did Jesus make the man walk and forgive him, but he also made the man know that he's forgiven. And third, he demonstrated to the entire village that he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. All of that happened in this one event. Jesus is efficient, we'll put it that way, with what he's doing. Guys, every human being will come face to face at some time or other with the authority of Christ. They will. People who deny him one day will stand before him. And they will have to reckon with the authority of Christ. In this story, the crowd has to reckon with it right here. They see it. Do you see it? And when we come face to face with the authority of Christ, we have to decide what we're going to do. Now, last week, when we taught on the Jesus healing the two demons, the demon-possessed men in the region of the Gadarenes, we then saw the reaction of the crowd. You know, the people from the town showed up, and they begged him to leave. That was their response to the authority. They saw the authority of Christ, and they begged him to leave. That was their response. In this story, we get a little bit different response. So look at verse 8. When the crowds saw it, they were afraid and glorified God who had given such authority to men. That's their response. They were afraid and they glorified God. That's what they did. That's the response of the crowds. So let me ask you a question.
They were afraid.
Yeah, they fear.
Phobos.
That's right, phobos. They fear.
NASB says they were full of awe.
What's that?
NASB says they were filled with awe.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what the word means.
It's phobos. Yeah, they're afraid. Picture this now. If you are standing before a judge who has authority to put you in prison for a long, long time, or to forgive your sentence, do you fear that judge? You better. Okay, these guys just saw what happened. They just saw that here's the judge who has the authority to forgive our sentence. And they're afraid. That's actually good. That's a proper response in one sense. If you were in their shoes, you would probably be afraid. If you really saw what was going on, if you really genuinely saw the authority of Christ and you stand before him, there's a natural healthy fear that you should have of that. It's not a bad fear. There are bad fears and there are good fears. This is a healthy fear. Jesus is that judge. Do you see him that way? Or is he just a meek, mild teacher who taught us to love? I mean, what's your picture of Jesus? This story should kind of shake up our picture of Jesus a little bit. We should fear the judge who has authority on earth to forgive sins. Guys, don't take Jesus lightly. He has authority on this earth. He has authority over this earth. He has authority over your soul. And he has an authority like you've never dreamed of before. It surpasses the authority, the highest authority you can think of here on earth. You know, we honor authorities, right? You've got the president or the president of Korea. You honor this authority. Okay, the president of Korea and the president of the United States will one day bow before the authority of Christ. We should have a healthy fear of him because of that. We should also glorify God because of the authority of Christ. That's what these people did. They were afraid and they glorified God. Jesus forgives you through faith. That's verse 2, right, in this story. Glorify God. That's verse 8. Jesus heals through faith. That's verse 2. Actually, that's verse 7. Glorify God. That's verse 8. Jesus has authority over all this earth. Glorify God. Glorify God for Jesus. Praise him. The Messiah has come, and the Messiah has set his people free from their sins. He shall save them from their sins. Glorify God. Praise his name. This is how we're to respond to the authority of Christ. By glorifying God. You fear it, the authority of Christ, but you glorify God for it at the same time. And when we do, when we truly give God glory, you know what that is? That's faith. That's what that is. I'm going to give you some homework. And then I'm going to ask if we could close by singing again that song, Your Great Name.
Okay, sure.
Because it just fits really well, this. But I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to take a minute. I passed those scriptures around. I want you to get a pen out. I want you to write down. You can write it on the back of that scripture I gave you if you wish. Leanne's got pens coming around. And I want you to write down something from this week, a sin from your week that you want to take to Jesus for forgiveness. I'm not going to ask you to share it. This is between you and God. But just take a minute, think what that might be, a sin from this week to take to Jesus for forgiveness. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. Okay, let's take him seriously about that. And second thing I'm going to have you write down is one thing that you feel you need to trust him for. Kind of like the paralytic, he didn't actually come for forgiveness. He came for something else. He was trusting Jesus with something in his life. So what is something in your life you need to trust Jesus for? Write that down. That's fine. That's still, we entrust him with them. Kind of like the friends of the paralytic, right? Mm-hmm. That fits the story just as much. Okay, so your homework then is this. I want you this week to confess that sin and ask forgiveness. And he has authority on earth to forgive sins, and he'll forgive you through by virtue of your faith. And the second thing is, whatever that thing is you wrote down, I want you to trust him with it. Just tell him, Lord, this, whatever you wrote, I'm going to trust you with this. You can ask, you can have a conversation with him. Help me trust you. What do I need to do? Maybe you know what you need to do. And I'll trust you to do this, whatever it is. And so that's the homework. And then glorify God. And so let's finish by singing that song and giving him glory.